But at the beginning of the year, we'd like to imagine that we are athletes and that this year, 2016, can you imagine it? 2016 is a race. And this race is before us. We are the athletes and we need to run. That's a challenge that faces us. And God gives us instructions as to how to run. We're going to be reading them now. But for any athlete, they need to register for the race. They can't just start running at any time. Somebody can't come halfway, you know, as they see the, you see the athletes coming past. You say, oh, I'd like to join in. And you just join in the race like that. Some people try to do that. They join in like that. There's a certain path which they must go. And then you'll find some started at the beginning, but there are some that climb over the wall and they're like, oh, everyone's going this way. Here we go. We join in. And they look as if they're running very nicely, but they never started. The Christian life is like that. Some people, they look and say, that's a Christian. Ah, it's easy to do that. I can talk like that. Jesus, hallelujah. That's not a problem. I look at the way they're walking, the way they're dressing. Ah, I can also dress like that. And they look exactly the same and they talk the same and they behave more or less the same. So, I'm doing well. Maybe some of you are like that. You somehow joined in, but you haven't actually registered properly. And so I want you to take this matter seriously and make very sure in your life that you've started in the right way. Through truly repenting of sin. Through truly trusting in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, Son of God. In committing your life to Him. And knowing that your life is a repentant life committed to Jesus Christ in whom you are trusting for everlasting salvation. Not for healing from a sickness, but for everlasting salvation. And then you run the race that is before you. Let's turn to the Bible. The Bible has got many pictures, and one of the pictures is this one of the race. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to there in your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. I wonder how many of you have been athletes, or at least have tried. Maybe some of you enjoy running. I don't know, but some enjoy athletics. And of course, those that run well, they've got a good chance of playing good football as well, because you also need to have runners on the football field. But let's turn to Hebrews 12, and we'll be thinking in two lines at the same time. We'll be thinking of the athlete and the picture. And we'll be thinking of the Christian life and the year 2016 that lies before us. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We also read verse 3, and we'll end there. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. their temptations to grow weary, in other words, tired and faint-hearted, might come our way during this year. In fact, it's not even a might. I think for almost everyone, it's a given. There will be times when you'll be tired and you'll wonder, did I do the right thing? Have I done the right thing to come to this place? Shouldn't I give up? And you'll need to push on. So there are a few instructions we find here, and we get our instructions from the Bible. We must always do that. The Christian life is not about dreaming up our own way, but getting our instructions from Scripture. So I've got seven instructions here concerning this race, and we need to obey them. The first one is be encouraged. Be encouraged. It starts off with the words, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. That tells me that there is an encouragement. There are witnesses around us that are encouraging us. And what must we do? We must receive that encouragement. We must actually go to the witnesses, hear the witnesses, see what they say, and be encouraged to run this race. It's like it's a motivation to push us forward. We all need encouragement. When the one is down, the other one is up, and he must encourage. The Christian life is not meant to be a one-man show. It's meant to be teamwork, and when a person works all by himself, he gets discouraged, and that is dangerous. Don't just compete with each other, saying, this one's not, I'm doing better than that one. Let me fight and try and get. We must encourage each other. Say, you see your brothers or your sisters struggling a bit? Encourage. That's the right thing to do. And it says there's this cloud of witnesses. Now, we must do what we call hermeneutics, interpreting Scripture. That's one of the things we will learn. But what we need to do is try to work out, what does this mean? What is a cloud of witnesses? And what is this cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12? Now, one explanation which I heard recently was, it must be the world, the people in the world, especially unsafe people who are all around us, watching us. The person said, it can't be the forefathers, the ancestors, so this must be the world that is watching us. Well, the world is watching us. Whatever we're doing, they might not be reading the Bible, but they're reading you. They're looking at your life. And they're looking at how you're living, and they're watching you. So that is a motivation to run properly. The fact that you've got people, unsaved people all around watching you. But that is not the answer. People who've got the privilege of Greek, they look at this word witness. And they see this word martus. And then they look up in the books to see what it means. It does not mean somebody who just watches. It does not mean somebody who sees. It means somebody who bears witness. Somebody who testifies actively. He gives a message. He gives an account. He witnesses to what he knows. Not a spectator. In English we sometimes say, yeah, you are a witness to what I did. But in the Greek, it's not like that. Accept it from me. That word is not acceptable. So that explanation that the cloud of witnesses is just the world watching us, it's not good enough. We have to look further for other explanations. Well, is it the ancestors? A lot of people say that. I think especially of the African Independent Churches, maybe, you know, that they will explain it. The ancestors are watching us. They died. They've gone before us. Sorry, they didn't die. They just went on. And they are watching us. They are looking and they are interested in what we are doing according to that belief. Is that what it's saying here in Hebrews chapter 12? Well, if we study other parts of the Bible, we find that that is not the case. They do not talk to us. Luke 16 especially. They don't. There was one man who died. He wanted to speak to his brothers. He could not. He called to Abraham. He said, please send somebody. And even Abraham refused. So we haven't got communication like that. That's not happening. So who is this? What is this cloud of witnesses? Well, the best explanation is that the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 from the Old Testament, the written account of these people, that is the cloud of witnesses. In other words, these people of the Old Testament who trusted God and God was faithful, who did things knowing God was there and God helped them and delivered them. Those stories we read in the Old Testament, they are encouragements to us. And the more we read about them, the more we are encouraged to trust God and to run this race, knowing that we will receive the reward in the end. They are the witnesses. Not as if they are coming to us talking, but the Bible says this. It says they are speaking to us through the pages of the Scripture. So they are these witnesses speaking to us. And what must we do? We must be encouraged by these witnesses. Don't run away from the Bible. Read it. And be encouraged. Read about David, how he trusted God and God sent that stone just to the right destination. And Joshua trusted God and the walls came down. And other people trusted God and were killed. But the Bible gives us the assurance they will stand up in the resurrection and be blessed. So we say, no, this God is a faithful God. I can be encouraged. We will do well if we get encouragement like this. So the first instruction here in Hebrews 12 is be encouraged. The second one is we must put in effort. We know what effort is. Energy, strength, you do it with all your heart. You put in effort. I'm mentioning Greek a few times, but I will mention it again. The word race. It says here there's a race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside and so on. And then it says a little bit later, let us run with endurance the race. The Greek word agon. We're not learning Greek now. But the English word agony comes from that word. There's a struggle. You can't run this race lying on your mattress. It's not comfortable, relaxing. It's not like that. It is a struggle of a race. It is something that you need to put effort in. You need to put your strength in to do it properly. The Lord calls it a race. And so we must put in our effort. Lots of effort. And if this year is our race, 2016, we must put in effort. Don't drift along until December. That won't work. You will be disobeying God if you do that. You need to put in effort. It's not comfortable. Not only is it a race, but we are told to what? to run the race. I think every translation will have that idea. Gejima. Run. Not just walk the race. Not dawdle. You know dawdle? That kind of walking. Not standing around. Some people are standing around in the Christian race. And you wonder, are they running? They are not running. They are not taking it seriously. They are playing. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said, we can pray the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. Not loafers, laborers. You might not know the word loafer. A loafer is a lazy person. A lazy person who just stands around. He doesn't run. That kind of athlete will be useless in a race. So the first thing is we must get encouragement. The second one is we must put in effort in this race. The third one, we must lay aside the hindrances and weights. That's what it says. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Now we can think of the picture of this race. Imagine somebody who has a coat, a heavy coat, and gumboots. Is he going to run a good race? No. He's not going to run very fast. There was one athlete who was an Olympic athlete. He had taken part in the Olympic Games. And in the new running season, he tried to take part in his country, in the national championships. And he did not even qualify for the national championships, even though he was an Olympic athlete. And they asked him, why? What went wrong? He says he knows what went wrong. He was eating too much chocolate and too many other things, and he wasn't exercising enough. He's put on weight. Now he can't run fast enough to even qualify for the national championships. He was discouraged, but he says, I need to take off that weight. I must put off the weight so that I can run better. And there will be some things in your life. You might not say it's sin, and yet it will be an extra weight for you. In this race, this Christian race of this year, you need to put it off. Maybe it's a tradition. Maybe it's an interest where you need to spend less time on that interest. Guys, maybe it's a girlfriend. You know, girlfriends have got their place at the right time, at the right place, according to God's instructions. But when you're taking your study seriously, they can be a great, great distraction. And of course, the girls, exactly the same thing, the women. Some of you are married already. Some of you are not. But there are distractions in this life, and you need to look at things, and when you see something and you say, is this a distraction? Is this a weight? Is this going to make me run slower? Away. Put it away. Even if it be chocolates. Or something like that, which you say, that's a small thing. Maybe it's television. Maybe you can say, okay, television? This year, no television. It's going to be a weight for me. Put it away. So lay aside hindrances. It could be a friendship of somebody who is not running. You are running. That person's not running. Just leave that friendship for now. Another one, number four. Put away sins. Lay aside sins. This is even more serious. In fact, we can say if you take sins and you hold on to sins this year, you will be disqualified. In God's eyes, you will be disqualified. You will not be running the race. This is obvious that you mustn't sin. And if you do sin, there is a Savior. There is salvation. In fact, that's one of the great wonders and the joys of the Christian message. There is forgiveness in Christ. But if you deliberately take up sin as a Christian and you hold on to sin, there's trouble coming your way. Then you are not running. Then you are just causing trouble. Lay aside sin. Deal seriously with sin. If anything you read in the Bible, you say, this is sin. Just say, this thing must go. No matter what, this thing must go. It's totally, totally unacceptable in our life. We must live holy lives. Righteous lives. And if anything is sin, don't even look at it. Don't even tolerate it for 1 minute. It must get out. It must go. We don't want to just be clever with theology and live in sin. That's not acceptable. Small sin, big sin. Remember, James says that sin gives birth to death. Or sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. When it is full grown. So sin grows, doesn't it? It starts like a small little thing. Be careful of the small ones. We've come to number 5. 5 of the 7. Some of you are right, taking some notes. But the first one was, we must be encouraged. The second one was, we must put in effort. The third one was, we must lay aside every weight. The fourth one, we must lay aside every sin. And now we come to the heart of it, the actual central one. We must run with endurance. With endurance. Perseverance. We must run with endurance this race. It's mentioned, and it's mentioned again. In verse 3, it's actually repeated in the way that Jesus ran with endurance. So we must run with endurance. This is not a 100-meter sprint. It's not something you say, right, let's put it in, wow, finished, over. It is a ultra-marathon. You've all heard of the Comrades. In South Africa, it is well known. That is an ultra marathon. Well, this Christian life, and in fact, this year is an ultra marathon. We've only just started it. If we've started it. And I hope we have. It's an ultra marathon. There will be times along this way where we will say, I want to give up. I'm tired. Let me go this way. Let me go that way. I'm exhausted. I'm getting frustrated. Let me stop. Let me turn back. Don't. Keep running. This is a marathon, and the Bible says run with endurance. It means you must endure hardships. You must endure the trials. You must keep going. You mustn't give up. That's how we must run. It goes on and on. Some Christians, they lose their first love. They lose their vision. They lose that enthusiasm which they had at the beginning. I think some of you have watched a race around the track. And you've watched the athletes. I once was there in a place in Namibia. We were doing evangelism, but I happened to be there and we were watching this race and we watched one event. It was high school girls in Mariental. They were running the 1,000 meters. So it's 2.5 times around the field. And the girls started at the other side. You saw them running. And this one girl was running very well. She started well. She did the first lap and she was ahead of everybody. She was right out in front. Running nicely with strength. Looked good. In fact, after the first lap, I thought to myself, well, she's going to win this race, this 1,000-meter race. But something happened during the second lap. She started getting tired. And she did not have endurance. So halfway through the second lap, she started going slower and slower. And then another girl came past her. Hey, she thought, this is terrible. So she put in some effort to try and regain her lead. But she failed. She could not. And she was discouraged. Yes, so this girl, she ran the second lap very badly toward the end of the second lap. She left the race. She didn't come first. She didn't come second. She didn't come third. She didn't even finish the race. She did not run with endurance. So what must we do? If we have to follow the instructions in the Bible, we must run with endurance. We must keep on, keeping on, keeping on, not giving up. We must not just start off well. We must end well. May it be. I hope every one of you here will run with endurance the race that is set before you. Number 6. What do the words say? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus. Some athletes are inclined to focus very much on their style of running and on how their foot lands and how their foot shoots off. And so they're looking at their feet and they do not run well. Some Christians, they look at how they're running. They're focusing too much on themselves in the way that they are running their race. How am I performing? And they focus too much on themselves. The Bible says, yes, we can look at ourselves, but our main focus must be Jesus. Keep Him in view all the time. Keep looking to Jesus. That's our instruction. Jesus not only brings salvation, He helps us in the race. His example is our perfect example. If we want to give up, we look at Jesus. Did He go through difficult times? Yes. Did He give up? No. Was He successful? Yes. Did He sin? No. We look to Him. We keep looking to Him. And His power, His grace, His character, His example is just right for us. We must look to Him. Some people don't look at their feet. Some athletes, they are looking at the stand. Hello, mommy. Can you see how nicely I'm running? They're looking at other people who are watching them. That's also not good enough. We need to be looking to Jesus. Yes, you look at others at the right time, but our main focus must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be like that in our lives. Our focus will be good and we will run well if we focus on Jesus Christ. Don't look at the other person and say, oh, but he's doing it. I can also do it. Careful. Look at Jesus. Is he doing it? If he's doing it, then I think I'm on the right course. Then I can go this way. And we run well. Number 7, the last one. We run for an eternal reward. We run for an eternal reward. Not for earthly things just of now. We don't run for just something that we can get this year or next year. We look for something that we will only get at the end. Just look at what it says here. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Tell me, was that joy before the cross or after the cross? For the joy that he set before him, he endured the cross. Was that joy before the cross or after the cross? It was after the cross. Because for the sake of getting that joy, he endured the cross. So was it in this life or was it in the next life? The next life. You know, our main reward must be in the next life, not this life. If we're looking for things in this life, we will not run well. But if we are looking for the next life, Jesus ran with endurance this race, endured the cross, carried on and was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's still seated at the right hand of the Father. He received his great reward. We need to say, hold on. Yes, there are some rewards in this life. But I want to sit at the right place in the next life. And I want to receive the reward from Jesus himself saying, well done, good and faithful athlete. Good and faithful Christian. Good and faithful servant. You have run well. You have obeyed me. You have followed my instructions. Well done. Yes, I want that. Some money, a good salary. That's small. Good health. Don't let those things distract you from the main motive and the main idea to run for the eternal rewards. Work for souls that last forever, not for money that flies away. Okay, we've looked at a number of things here. 7 instructions from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Remember, if we look at a passage like this, we might be tempted to do what the world does. We say, oh, I must try harder. That's not the Christian way. The Christian way is not to say, I must just try harder. The Christian way is to look at my life carefully and prayerfully. Have I done wrong? If I've done wrong, confess it. Repent of it. Trust in Jesus and follow the Bible instructions. That's the way. Not just, I will try harder. That's not our way. That's not the way we are taught from Scripture. Yes, we must try harder. That's not the main idea. Consider your life. Have you been going wrong? Have you gone wrong last year? Or did you follow these instructions? Repent of those things. Pray to the Lord. Confess it before Him. Ask Him for the help that you need to run this year the proper way. Seek His blessing and commit your life to that. And to following His instructions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the Bible. Thank you for this glorious, wonderful book. And thank you for the instructions we find in it, even this morning. Lord, I pray for each one of us here. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless the following of your word. And Lord, if there are some that are not truly saved, Lord, I pray that you will do that wonderful miracle in their lives very soon. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that you'll help us to run this race in a way that will please you for Jesus' sake. Amen.